Gospel according to Mark, chapter 13. I would like to read a few verses, starting with the verse number 33 to the end of this chapter. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Verse 33 again. Take ye heed, watch and pray. Now, we know something about praying. But watch. Watch for what? Watch against what? What does that mean, watch? It's a frequent word throughout the New Testament, and not only a few times recorded in the so-called Old Testament. All through the Bible, watching and praying seem to be a very important work or spiritual activity for those that believe the Lord and obey Him. It seemed to me that the disciples, and especially the apostles, did echo this word, this warning, this encouragement to watch. Watch, be sober, be vigilant. In the first epistle to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 2, talking about the virtues or the whole armor of godliness for those that are in teaching or leading position among the believers, we read, be vigilant, be on guard, and be sober, among quite a few other virtues and qualities that a good example of a Christian should possess or manifest in Christian godly behavior, godly manners. Watching and praying seem to be in a prominent position. So I would think that in this first epistle to Timothy in chapter 3, verse number 2, a bishop or a leader, a teacher, a servant, a minister of Christ must be vigilant, must be sober, not to forget that he or she is a minister of Christ. That everyone who wants to serve the Lord may not get distracted by the desires, intentions, or endeavors of the world and carnal humanity and the deceit of Satan. In the first epistle of Peter the Apostle, chapter 5, we can see that there is another warning to be vigilant, to be sober. That's in the verse number 8. And in the preceding verses, we can figure out what to be vigilant against, not to allow us to be distracted, not to get entangled in the things of the world, not to be preoccupied with the attractions, and not to be scared by the threats of the enemy. In the beginning of chapter 13, Mark 13, the chapter that I'm in now, we read that the Lord went out of the temple, and one of his disciples says unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Of course the Lord knew the buildings. Of course he knew the stones. And of course he knew the disciples. Why would a disciple tell to the Lord, look, Lord, watch it, see it, admire it? Well, I would imagine that the temple of the Lord, with all the glory that the scriptures are linking to that building in the past, in the glorious and wonderful days of King David and King Solomon, at least the good half of his ruling in the land of Israel, glorious, magnificent things happen as the Lord was preparing the building of the temple through David, and then as the Lord started and continued and accomplished the building of the temple and so on, and then as the Lord allowed, or actually indirectly commanded the king Nebuchadnezzar to destroy the temple and the city. So many things that are very meaningful and very important in the history of the children of Israel are linked to the temple and in the hearts of the Israelites. I think it was something very important. And when they looked at that temple, they would feel some pride, some encouragement, some comfort. They are not the least of all the nations. There is something to admire in their capital, Jerusalem, the house of the Almighty God. So it was a pleasure. It was a comfort. It was some encouragement to them, to the Israelites, to stop and to admire that building and to just enjoy the grandeur or the beauty of that structure. And the Lord had a surprise for them. His reply is, "Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Ah, it's time for you, my disciples, the students of the New Testament sealed by the blood of the Lamb of God, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, to stop focusing upon the outside of the temple and start focusing on the inside of the temple. Because among you, the disciples, the real temple of God is walking and doing miracles and teaching as no one ever did. Listen to that. Turn away from earthly things and look up toward heaven, to the Heavenly Father, the source of all good things of lasting values. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" And then the Lord Jesus answered, "Take heed lest any man deceive you." Wow! Take heed. The same word that I read in the verse number 33. Take heed lest ye be deceived. So we are to take heed, to watch and to pray. Watch for the signs of God's word being fulfilled in our days. And then watch our heart, our inner man, to make sure that we are not deceived. Now, how can we get deceived? We that have studied the Word of God for so long, we that have listened to so many good and great teachers and expositors of the Bible, we that know more than one concordance, exhaustive concordance, we that can learn the meaning of the words in Hebrew, in Greek, in this and that, and comments and commentaries of so many prominent scholars and teachers, how can we get deceived? Very easily, very easily. All these prominent people had flesh and blood as we do, and we have it also. And if they made some mistakes, intentionally or secretly, and they did both, then if those mistakes are somehow conveniently caressing our flesh and blood, we are very much inclined to believe them and to accept them and very confidently and self-confidently walk in the wrong direction. Take heed not to be deceived, or lest ye get deceived. Now, who else is deceiving us? Our own flesh. I mentioned that already. Our teachers nowadays. And then, oh man, our government. Oh, how much they are deceiving us. Oh, the professors, the teachers in the colleges and universities, well, even more before that, all of them from the first grade of the grade school all the way to the highest level of education. Deception. Lie after lie. Deception. This is the world of self-deception, self-pollution, self-destruction. The world where the spirit of darkness is deceiving the people. I almost said is ruling. No. I don't think he's ruling. The spirit of the Lord is ruling, especially in the hearts of those that believe, trust and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. But he is also ruling over the powers of darkness. He has set the limits. So far, you are going to be proving your corruption and your evil intentions, but nothing further. The Spirit of God is ruling. Oh, may it be that he is ruling in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds. How can we watch not to be deceived? Watch and pray. So I should look into my heart. What is my intention today? What is my desire? For what purpose I want to do that? Am I sharing the gospel because I want to sooner or later make my own church and have a group of people that will admire me and appreciate me and obey me, and I would be almost at least a small Jesus whom they will obey without grudging, without opposing, without even questioning. Is that my desire? If so, I am deceived already. Is it good to have a good church? Of course it is. It's wonderful. Is it good to desire to have fellowship? Of course it's all right, if it is. But that's not the reason we preach the gospel. That's not the reason we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord because he commanded us to serve him. And we present the gospel not to please the people, not to make a church, not to destroy a church, of course. We preach the gospel because he commanded us to preach. And he commanded us to live that gospel. And in that section, I can only confess, far, far from the example of those that confess that they are far from the perfection presented to all of us in Christ Jesus. In this same chapter, Mark 13, in the verse number 28, the Lord is saying, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors." And then the Lord puts a special seal upon his words to tell us how important and meaningful they are. "Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." My words will be fulfilled, he is telling us. So we should watch for the signs of God's word being fulfilled, not in a childish way. It's not important to us whether this or that party is going to get the majority in the parliament or Congress or Senate or wherever. It's not important to us if this or that dynasty or empire will last another century or another year or day. Now that's meaningless. But what is important to us? To know that the word of God is being fulfilled. To see all these signs being fulfilled in the time when they are being fulfilled. To realize, to understand, to be aware of the fact that the glory and majesty of our Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has filled the universe, and all of that is given into the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is telling us these words and teaching us how to watch and pray, how to take heed. So we should watch, and what should we pray for? That we remain watchful, and that we remain and increase in being able to see these signs, not to fall into that lack of awareness into eating and drinking and enjoying this life. Well, after all, God did not give all the blessings and privileges to the unbelievers. There is something for His people to rejoice about, yes, but it's not overeating, overdrinking. It is watching and praying that He gave to His people to enjoy. And when we do that, we become aware, and He keeps us in that awareness, that not only all of this shall pass rather quickly, our journey, our pilgrimage, it's over so soon, but also the Lord Jesus Christ is everywhere around us. The Lord Jesus Christ is present here and now, and He is watching us as we journey through this valley of tears and sighs, this valley of joy and pleasure of serving the Lord and glorifying His name. We know not the day nor the hour of the Lord's coming. We know not the day and the hour of some major historic calamities, major changes, major destructions, great floods, earthquakes, fires, wars, international conflicts, bloodshedding and all of that. We know not. But this one thing we know: if we watch and pray, we are in the grace of God. If we obey His word, we are in the grace of God. If we live and walk in the Spirit of Christ, we are in Christ, Christ is in us, and no ill thing can reach us. Oh yes, we will have difficulties, we will have sufferings, we will have persecutions, we will have sicknesses, we will have all these things, but we know it's close at the door, and just a moment, another step, another prayer, and the Lord is going to call me back home. Oh, what a glory and what a joy to haste into the arms of my Savior, not being bound to the things of this world that will pass, that will burn with fire, that will pass away, as will the opportunity for many people that are preoccupied with the things of the world, the opportunity to call on the name of the Lord and experience that salvation. In the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25 from the verse number 14, we have a similar passage but a different one. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. What do we see? This man's security, assurance, was in the earth. That's where he digged in and hid his Lord's money. In this same chapter, Matthew 25, from the verse number 34, we read about a wide field, fruitful field, where the talents can be invested in and multiplied and gathered together and kept in the treasure of our heart and mind and soul for the coming of our Lord. In the verse number 34, the Lord said, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then the Lord is pointing out what is the attitude of good servants that are multiplying the talents of the master. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When did we do anything good for thee, O Lord? That's the attitude of the faithful. What was the attitude of the faithless? When did we ever miss? Didn't we do everything that we were supposed to do? That's the attitude of the faithless. What did the older son say when his younger son returned home? Oh, I served thee, Father, for so many years, and I never got any reward. That's the attitude of the sinful, of the rebellious, of the hypocrites, of those that pride themselves in their service, in their faithfulness that does not exist. What an awful predicament. So in Matthew 25 we see the talents distributed to the servants, and everyone received a different amount. And I would say that millions of the servants received the talents from the Lord. And one received 5 talents, and another one 4.99, and another one 4.98, and so on and so on and so on. And some received 1.5 talents and worked. And there were 3 talents in the end. In Gospel according to Luke chapter 19, starting with the verse number 12, the Lord is telling another story that somehow is similar to the stories that we are already have been looking into, but there is some difference as well. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this one to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? In the story of pounds and in the story about the talents, we see something in common, and of course, as I mentioned already, some differences that I'm not going to dwell on or share much about in this recording. What we see that there is individual responsibility, individual efforts, individual faithfulness emphasized. But in this story, we see the whole house, the whole household of this man taking a far journey. And he left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Every man received his work, just as every man received the talent or the pound or whatever was his individual responsibility. In this household, everyone has his own individual responsibility, but also they are not separated entities. They are not working each one for his own business. No, all the people in the household are the same household. And as we have our individual responsibilities before our Lord and Master, so we have our communal responsibility, the responsibility of being united in that sincere and fervent desire to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ until He come. In the Epistle to the Romans chapter 12, in the beginning and on, we read about more reasons what to watch and pray for and against. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. One body, many members. There is that need, that desire of the Spirit of the Lord to keep us in unity, in harmony, together working in the same household of faith, and wait for our Master to return. Watch and pray. Take heed. In the Epistle to the Corinthians, the first Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 12, there is the teaching about spiritual gifts and working together in unity, in harmony, and so on. And in the verse number 12, we read, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? So we should take heed to watch and pray. Watch against our envying the other fellow believers and fellow laborers, fellow pilgrims, and not to give them a reason to envy us or me. Watch and pray that I should not be one that is craving the responsibility and gifts of the others, the gifts of the Lord given to the others, at the same time neglecting the gifts and responsibilities given to me by the Lord. We all have our individual responsibility, our individual task, assignments, chores, ministries, obligations, and we all together have that one common obligation to love one another, to serve the Lord, and not to consider His service our private property or possession, but rather ourselves being only the servants and He is the Master. We are only the children and the Heavenly Father is one over all. We are only a tiny ray of His light, but He is the light. He is the truth, and we can be a voice of His truth. Now back to the Mark chapter 13, last few verses. Why would the Lord say, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning"? We know nothing, and He wants to keep it that way. Why would He allow us to be so ignorant? Is it not important to know the Lord is coming precisely at that moment and we get everything ready? Well, maybe not, because we are preparing everything for that moment and neglecting our service all the way until that moment. And because we know not the moment, every moment of our pilgrimage, every step of our journey, watch and pray, take heed, serve the Lord. And if we serve the Lord faithfully all the time, He is not going to surprise us by His coming. And all the events and the calamities that are coming to this sinful humanity from which the Lord has plucked us out, paying the ransom by His own blood and suffering. Of all of that that is coming, nothing will surprise us, because when we take heed and we watch and pray and serve the Lord faithfully, we feel that He is right here and right now. Any moment He can say, "It is enough. You are coming home now." And for those that watch and pray, it's the most wonderful news that one Christian can hear in this flesh. Or perhaps there is one that is even more wonderful. The trumpet in the sky and the sign of the Son of Man in the clouds, and the end has come. It's all over, and He is spelling the end of sin and woe, and the glory and majesty of the Lord is visible even to those that are squeezing their eyelids not to see it. Even to those that profess to be Christians but deny the power of the Spirit of Christ working in full separation from the sinfulness of the world and full commitment to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ without taking any credit and always confessing, "When did I ever do anything good?" And always being like John the Baptist, "He, Jesus Christ the Lord, should increase and I should diminish." And as Paul the Apostle said in Galatians 2:20, I read, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Watch and pray. Take heed that you watch watching and pray praying. Never cease, for the Lord is coming and He won't be late. So we take heed that we do our Master's will. We take heed that we watch and not fall asleep. We take heed that we remain, continue in prayers and not to trust ourselves. And so, someday, the same one that commanded us to watch will come back. And if it be a surprise at all, let it be a joyful, glorious, wonderful, blessed surprise. Our Master, our Lord, our Savior, the lover of our souls and the longing of our souls is here.